Psalm 62. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him, like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances, they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
It is with pleasure I would like to introduce our preacher today. Pastor Vince Leung is currently finishing his PhD in chemical engineering at McMaster University. Prior to this, he finished his Master of Divinity degree at McMaster Divinity College and was an interim pastor at interim associate pastor at Hartlick Baptist Church. Vince's wife is Samantha with us today, and also they have two daughters, Aliana and Adeline, and they are currently expecting their third child in January 2018. So, Pastor Vince.
Thanks, Pastor Ming. Good morning. So it's good to be with you. Thanks for inviting me. Pastor Ming and I got connected through a member of my previous church, Hartlick Baptist. They were talking and somehow my name came up and he emailed me. So here I am. It's always nice to meet new faces and to share the word of God to you all. I grew up in a Chinese church. I play softball. A couple of you guys know me. I was here actually once, maybe like 15 years ago, for a worship practice for softball, so I kind of remember this place, but not really. As Pastor Ming said, I'm still in school, but I mean, that's enough about me. So let's get straight into the word. Our text today is from Psalm 62, as Ashley read for us. We thank you for that. And we're reading today from the ESV. I know, I think usually you guys read from the NIV, but the translation is a little bit better for this passage. So we're going to stay with the ESV today. Just a little bit of a breakdown of the psalm, and then we'll pray. The psalm is written by David, separated into three sections. And each section is broken up by this word, Selah. We don't really know what that word means. Most theologians says it's some sort of like musical word. Here it just shows us that there's a break in the different stanzas of the psalm. And David here is writing during a time of desperation, a time of struggle, a time of intense attack from his enemies. And as we can see in verse 3. But before I get even further, let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to show us what the word he wants to speak to us today is about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word that you have chosen to speak to us. We did not deserve you. We did not deserve the word that you've given us here. But God, as we turn to the Psalms today, Lord, speak to us. Holy Spirit, would you enlighten our hearts, Lord God? I know we're so dull sometimes that our minds often do not understand the deep spiritual truths that are in here. So God, I pray that you open our eyes, open our hearts to your word. Help us to be submissive to what you have called us to listen today. So God, be here. May your power be made known today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I said, this psalm, David is writing during a time of intense struggle, intense trials. And maybe you have been through a time of trial, a time of desperation, or maybe you're going through one right now. Maybe a conflict with friends or family, coworkers, maybe you recently lost a job or looking for a job. For the students here, you're struggling through school. Exam time is at hand. Maybe you're dealing with some sort of sickness. Maybe you have problems in your marriage, and so on and so forth. And as you all know, that trials and tribulations are real in this life. And the question for us is that when we're faced with these circumstances, are we shaken? Do we feel our faith waver? Do we try to fix things on our own? Or do we turn to different things, maybe money or maybe escapism and like play video games or go shopping or whatever your escape is? Or do we trust in the Lord? The psalm here shows us how we should act when we're faced with trials and difficult circumstances. Let's look at the first stanza, the first four verses. And this is what it says. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him? Like a leaning wall, a tottering fence. They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. Here, the first verse highlights the heart or the thesis of this psalm. That when we're faced with trial, we are to trust in God alone for salvation. Again, that this is repeated almost verbatim in verse 5, and we'll look at verse 5 a little bit later. And you can see where the thrust of this psalm is that we have to trust in God and in him alone. In fact, in Hebrew, in the original text here, the word only, which is ak in the original language, is used over and over again. Five times out of the first five verses, David actually uses this word to start each verse. And he's using this literary device to emphasize the importance of understanding that God alone is salvation. There is no other salvation. In times of trouble, are we looking to God or to something else? Is God alone our rescue? Or do we make ourselves our rescue? Or do we make someone else or money or whatever it might be our rescue? So if you only take one thing from the sermon, and this sermon is rather simple, but if you only take one thing from the sermon is this, in times of trouble, make God alone your hope and salvation. But let's break this down a little bit more. I want to look at verse 3 and 4 first. The psalm shows us that trials and attacks will come. It's not a matter of if it'll come. It's a matter of when it comes. In verse 3, David cries out to his enemy. He says, how long will you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. The enemies of David were plotting against him, right? Like they're pestering him, slandering him. And maybe right now you're faced with like a similar situation. Maybe you have people at your work or friends that slander you, that they personally attack you. Or maybe your situation is completely different, right? Like maybe you're just, you know, going through a serious time of sickness or depression or financial struggles or marital problems or whatever it might be. The reality is this, right? That in this fallen world, we will face trials. This is the reality of sin permeating through our world. Jesus in John 16 says this, that in this world, you will have troubles. But take heart, for I've overcome the world, right? The issue is not what kind of struggle or what kind of problems you're facing. It's how we respond to such a problem. As Christians, we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing in light of our trials? Which leads me to part B of my point. Verses 1 and 2. He says, "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken." It's important to see that in time of trouble, David responds in silence. He does not vindicate himself. I mean, he's a mighty man. He has a group of mighty men. He could fight his way through, but here he chooses not to take matters in his own hand, but he waits for God in silence. Now I want to preface this by saying that there is a time to go to God and cry out, right? That in our trials, God invites us to cry out. Over and over again, you see in the Psalms, so you see how David calls out to God. It's like, how long will you let the righteous perish, and so on and so forth. And throughout Scripture, we see examples like Moses and Hannah and Paul just crying out to God, right? And even in Hebrews, the author of Hebrews says this in Hebrews 4, that we could approach the throne of grace with boldness or with confidence, so that we could find help and mercy in our time of need. There is a time to go to God. In fact, Jesus even said that we should be like a persistent widow, to go to this righteous judge over and over again to present our case. So when you're in trials, I encourage you to cry out to God, to plead with him, to lean on him, to declare that you need him. That your full depend